Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Cash back for air travelers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. British Airways and Virgin Atlantic have tentatively agreed to settle charges of price fixing. As Stephen Beard reports from London, these airlines will return $200 million to customers who flew between the U.S. and the U.K.
British Airways colluded with Virgin Atlantic in setting its fuel surcharge. BA has already been fined $500 million for the offence. Now, after a class action lawsuit in the U.S., passengers have a chance to collect. They could get a refund of $20 a flight. Anyone who flew with either airline between August 2004 and March 2006 is eligible. Kieran Daly of Air Transport Intelligence says BA will be kicking itself. There was absolutely no need to fix prices with Virgin.
It's a stupidly unnecessary situation to have got themselves into. The reality is that airfares track each other incredibly closely all the time.
Even more galling for BA was the fact that its old rival Virgin didn't pay any fines in the case, because Virgin blew the whistle, alerting the regulators to the price fixing. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The stock market tumbled yesterday. Seems like the problems in the banking system are far from over, and more write-downs for bad mortgages are very likely. Maybe another $120 billion. The Dow fell 175 points to 12,376. The S&P fell 18. The NASDAQ was off 41 points. Asian markets were mixed overnight. The major European markets are lower at this hour. China's trade surplus jumped more than expected during January, a near $20 billion gap, although economists say it could be a sign the Chinese economy may power global growth and prevent a global recession. Three states in the southeastern U.S. have been fighting over water for the past 20 years. This season's historic drought has only made things worse. Today was the deadline for Georgia, Florida, and Alabama to come up with a long-term water-sharing agreement. But yesterday, state officials said they'll miss the deadline. We'll get a status report instead. Now, this struggle over water rights inspired a dentist in Athens, Georgia, to conserve. That's where the porta-potties come in. Here's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
Twin sisters Brenda Zari and Barbara Fogg manage the Athens Family Dental Center. They tend to finish each other's sentences, like when they're asked whose idea it was to install the porta-potties.
Didn't you suggest that to start with? Because we were afraid we'd run out of water and have to close our doors.
If we were out of water and couldn't flush, then we'd be out of business.
That's hardly the case. In fact, the dental center is flush. One reason, the staff is encouraged to use the porta-potties out back. That cuts the practice's water bill by a quarter. The twins love showing off their profitable porta-potties.
And see, it's quite nice. Got a little chef and it's bigger. Did you see this hand sanitizer?
Oh, yeah. The hand sanitizer helps with the yuck factor. Brenda Zari says patients don't mind their dentist using a porta-potty as long as they're not required to, but they are handed a water-saving tip sheet as they leave. Zari wrote it.
The first one is brushing your teeth with the water off. There is a saying, I don't know if I can say this about the flushing of the toilet. Okay, the saying is, if it's yellow, let it mellow, and if it's brown, flush it down.
Richard Linnows teaches business at American University. He says the dental center has the right approach. It's able to conserve water without annoying customers. He doesn't recommend forcing patients to use the porta-potties, even if the drought gets worse.
That does introduce a new ripple in the normal anxiety that one might have going to the dental office. I think you could tell them this is available, but you may not have to require it.
Brenda Zari says positive porta-potty publicity even brought in a new customer.
So when she got here, she said, I'm a new patient because y'all have porta-potties.
Zari says they plan to keep the porta-potties indefinitely. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. and by the American Public Transportation Association, working toward energy independence with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Maybe you were one of the 17.5 million TV watchers of the Grammys last Sunday. In the days since, there's been a slight bump up in music sales. Let's bring in Bill Wordy of Billboard magazine. Bill, which artists are getting the biggest boost post-Grammys?
Well, a couple of the big ones. I mean, you might expect an act like Amy Winehouse, who had achieved some success but wasn't really a household name yet. She's suddenly reaching a much broader audience. She had a great performance. It was actually one of the few seemingly like very sincere moments of the Grammys when she won. She's seen great jumps. A lot of people are expecting her to crack back into the top 10 of the Billboard 200 albums chart based on the first couple of days' sales.
Any big surprises from where you sit?
One would be the success of the Foo Fighters. You know, that rock band looks like it's probably going to jump back into the top 15 or 20. You know, some people say they were one of the few bands to really get out there and show, like, the spirit of rock and roll. You know, they were kind of a little bit scruffy wearing some T-shirts, and they played a great song.
If we look at the other end of the spectrum, who was the biggest disappointment in your view?
Well, I don't know if I would call them disappointments, but there's some artists that maybe could have grabbed a bigger share of the limelight. One of those that comes to mind is Feist. She's a Canadian singer. Her song, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think was really poised to break out with the broad exposure of the Grammys. She gave a very subdued performance of the song. And while you are seeing some spikes, a lot of people around the industry feel that if she had kind of gone out there and done a really vibrant show, she would have really benefited.
Bill Wordy is executive editor for Billboard. Bill, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Doug.
As we wrap up, here's the music of Feist in Los Angeles. I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.